Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Ultra-processed foods, UPFs, such as pastries and sweetened breakfast cereals, are popular for a reason. They're convenient, accessible, there's a sense of familiarity and reliability with them. You know exactly what that food will do for you and how it will taste. It's no surprise that nearly 60% of adults' daily calories come from ultra-UPFs, while a child's intake is roughly 67%. But new studies keep raising existing concerns about how UPFs impact our health. Should we avoid them? Well, here's what you need to know on today's program. Holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., will talk about the dangers of consuming ultra-processed foods, and then will motivate you to make holy basil seeds your daily dietary companion. Dr. Susan, great topic. Welcome back to the program.
Yeah, wonderful to be with you again. Thank you.
What an important topic, because we all spend our days wondering about ultra-processed food, buying and consuming ultra-processed foods. I'm looking forward to the conversations. Let's talk about what exactly we're talking about with ultra-processed foods. What are they?
So everyone's heard about UFOs, right?
Yes.
Unidentified flying objects, or it could be unidentified floating objects that you might find in the kitchen when you're cooking, or maybe even in the bathroom. But now here are three more letters to enjoy in your mind. UPFs. This is for ultra-processed foods. What are they? They're packaged, ready-to-eat, or heat foods. They're made with several manufactured ingredients. Their ingredients can include additives like preservatives, stabilizers, flavor enhancers, bulking agents, that kind of stuff, and can also include a lot of sugars and fats, particularly saturated fat, and a lot of salt. And UPFs are designed to be convenient, shelf-stable, and appealing. And what might surprise you is that many foods, and even sometimes plant-based milks and protein bars that are generally considered quote-unquote healthy, are technically ultra-processed too. And I'll just rattle off some common UPFs include. And you might think when I'm done with the list that what's left to eat. But like soda and energy drinks, packaged snacks, candies and ice cream, pastries, cookies and cake, mass-produced breads, instant noodles and soups, processed meat like sausages and nuggets, ready-to-eat and heat pastas and pizzas, sweetened breakfast cereals, most flavored yogurts, some plant-based milks, and some protein energy bars and shakes. So that's just a list of things that I bet a lot of people listening have already in their kitchens that you want to start reading labels and reconsider.
That basically leaves water and asparagus that's good for us, that we can eat. I mean, you've eliminated a lot of the foods that we enjoy so much in our conversation today, and more on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. You'll find her on X, formerly Twitter, X at Susan Smith Jones, and all this on our website. Let's talk about the impact on our health. It sounds bad. How bad is it? What's the impact?
Well, the biggest concern with UPFs is that high consumption of these foods take the place of more nutrient-dense foods and then can lead to a nutritional imbalance and other health concerns we'll talk about. So studies show that diets that are rich in UPFs are also, like I mentioned, high in sugars, total fat, saturated fat, but also low in fiber, protein, potassium, zinc, and magnesium, and vitamins A, C, D, E, B12, and niacin. So fiber and potassium have already been identified as nutrients of concern because most people, Rick, don't get enough in their diet. and less than 10% of adults in the United States meet their fiber needs. That's terrible. And by the way, lack of nutrition can negatively affect a child's growth and development too. And now, bottom line it here, that UPF exposure has also been linked to cardiometabolic risks, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, cancer, irritable bowel syndrome, inflammatory bowel disease, depression, and more.
That's amazing. So much more. We're going to sort of in depth today, and you can go even further in depth by going to Dr. Susan's website. Let's get specific. I know you spend a lot of time on research. What does research say about UPFs and effect on our physical health? You've touched on some of those, but it's significant, isn't it?
Yeah, and I sure like to have studies. You know, decades ago, we didn't have the plethora of studies we do now. And remember that what you eat today, you will crave tomorrow. So, and you'll see that I'll talk about before we finish that make these UPFs a splurge. So, first of all, you know how you feel after a big holiday meal? Let's say it's Thanksgiving and you have to unbutton your trousers or your skirt. And how do you feel after the meal usually? Sluggish, fatigued, tired. And then it does actually interfere with good sleep. So that's one thing that these ultra-processed foods do to your body. They can lead to weight gain. This is a no-brainer, but there was a small but unique study done in 2019, and it fully controlled the diets of 20 adults for 2 weeks. And the researchers found that those on this ultra-processed diet consumed about 500 calories more per day, ate more carbs and fat, and gained an average of 2 pounds. Those on the unprocessed diet ate less and lost weight. All right, so I'm going to now mention high blood pressure and then diabetes, kidney function, colorectal cancer, a few items. So there was a systemic review that found that the risk of cardiovascular disease increased by 6% for every 10% increase in daily calories of UPFs. And the lowest risk of cardiovascular disease was observed in diets, this is important to remember, with less than 15% of the daily calories coming from UPFs. The researchers also observed that diets with higher intakes of UPFs were associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease and high blood pressure, and especially in middle-aged women. Now, type 2 diabetes is really on the rise, and some kinds of UPFs may raise this risk. Multiple studies have shown that each 10% increase in total UPF consumption was associated with 12 to 15% increase in the risk of type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
So the takeaway there is really work on cutting out these processed foods if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic. How about your wonderful kidney function? These foods, ultra-processed foods, can worsen kidney function, especially in adults 60 years and up. Researchers noted that a diet that's rich in the UPFs is independently associated with 50% or higher risk of renal function decline. And this also probably has something to do with all these processed foods are what? They're low in fiber, high in sodium, sugars, and phosphates. So, of course, that's going to affect it. And then let's just mention, because it's also on the rise in the United States and UK, these foods can increase the risk of colorectal cancer, people with high intakes of UPFs had almost a 30% higher risk of developing colorectal cancer than those that had the least consumption of these processed foods. So remember, you're the one who decides what you eat. Nobody, we hope, shoves the food down your throat. And you know, again, like I said, what you eat today, you crave tomorrow. And so many people are risking their lives every time they sit down to a meal or a snack. We've got to make better choices.
Well, that sounds like that is the case, that we risk our lives with some of the choices that we make. Our guest on the program is holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. Her website is very simple. It's her name, SusanSmithJones.com. And, of course, all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Topic today, dangers of ultra-processed foods and a top-quality superfood that we'll be talking about on the program coming up shortly. Dr. Susan, UPFs also have a negative impact, I believe, on our mental health. Is that correct? And what is that impact?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They raise the risk for depression. There was a really good cross-sectional study that showed that participants with high UPF intake had significantly greater chance of mild depression as well as mentally unhealthy and anxious days compared to those with a lower consumption. In another study, Rick, it found that over time, middle-aged women without depression who consumed high amounts of artificial sweeteners and artificially sweetened beverages like sodas and fruit juice were more likely to be depressed. And it also increases the risk of dementia when observing close to 11,000 adult Brazilian residents without dementia. Researchers saw a 28% faster rate of cognitive decline in those that ate a higher UPF diet. And in a similar study in the UK, it was very close in results. They found a 25% higher risk in dementia, Alzheimer's disease, and vascular dementia than those participants with higher intakes of UPF. So, and I would probably add right now that you always want to keep in mind that while most research points to a negative effect of UPF, I know that there are some limitations to the studies because research may observe an association between eating the foods and certain health risks, but it's difficult to determine a causal relationship. Other factors like smoking, physical activity can also affect results, but may not be appropriately accounted for. So like with all the studies, with most topics, more research is needed. But it really is a no-brainer that if you want to live a healthier lifestyle and live longer and be happier and make all aspects of your life better, keep the processed foods you eat to a minimum.
Well, I want to talk about that. We need to take a break. When we come back with Dr. Susan, we'll talk about her opinion on all UPFs and are they bad? Because they're inevitable in our diet, especially they're so easy to fix. You throw them up on the shelf and they last for years in some cases. We'll pick up on that more with Dr. Susan on This Week in America. And we're back right after these messages. Back on today's program, our guest is holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. The topic, the dangers of ultra-processed foods and a top-quality superfood that we'll be getting to shortly. When we left, I was talking about the fact I wanted to bring up, are all UPFs bad? It's inevitable that some of us will incorporate, probably many of us will incorporate some in our diet. What's your thought? Are they all bad?
So here are my thoughts on this. Having ultra-processed foods can sometimes be the difference between having something to eat and skipping a meal.
Yes.
And whether you're busy or have limited access to stores with fresh produce, maybe in the winter, and lean proteins, UPFs, you kind of want to say UPS too, UPFs can make healthier eating, such as flavored yogurts and soups, more attainable, since including whole foods is not often realistic for some people. And according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, 34% of people in the United States, 34 million people are food insecure, and many don't qualify for federal nutrition programs for support. So, and we all know that the cost in foods is going up and up and up. So
yes.
UPFs are generally, unfortunately, cheaper and more accessible when your budget, your food budget is tight. But when you have a choice, try to avoid UPFs if you can, if there's a choice.
If you think we're having too many UPFs or just want to cut back in general, where do we start? How do we begin this process?
So I suggest that you start by making small changes to your diet so you don't suddenly feel deprived. Maybe you swap one soda a day for flavored seltzer water, or choose plain flavored items like yogurt. This is what you do, and you put your own fresh fruit topping on it, or oatmeal rather than processed oatmeal that might have additives in it. Get plain oatmeal and add your own nuts and seeds to give it a little bit more flavor and texture. You know, think about what you could add to your meal to make it more nutrient dense. A lot of people love those instant noodles, but maybe you can also throw in vegetables and beans, or maybe chicken if you eat that, to up the protein and fiber. Maybe you can pair fresh or frozen fruit with your ice cream for more fiber and vitamins. You know, there's always something you can do to make it a little bit better, to enrich it. Of course, it goes without saying, but I'll say it, that cooking from scratch is your best guarantee
yes.
for limiting UPFs in your diet, for those who can do that. You know, batch cooking can make that easier so that you have meals on hand and ready to eat throughout the week. I actually like to do that. But if you prefer your favorite UPF as is, every so often, all right, that's okay, but don't make it a daily habit. Look at it as an occasional splurge. Just be very mindful of the portion size, how it fits into your overall balance of food you're eating throughout the day. I personally avoid all UPFs, but I also know that my diet is stricter than most people. But I also know I haven't had a cold or a flu in over 40 years. I don't think I've ever told you that. And I never even got COVID. But I know, and diet isn't the only factor on boosting your immune system and being healthy, but it's a big one.
Great information, and all of this and so much more on Dr. Susan's website. That is very simple. Again, her name, SusanSmithJones.com. Information and a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Great common sense advice to sort of limit, have this understanding, consider it to be a splurge from time to time. I mentioned your favorite superfoods, and this is one that you really talk a lot about in looking at your monthly newsletters, and we'll talk about signing up for those here in a few seconds. But let's talk about your favorite superfoods, and you have one in particular you would like to talk about.
Yeah, well, here's one that a lot of people don't know about, so I'm hoping to enlighten everyone about this, and it's holy basil seeds. Now, holy basil seeds have had a long history of use with the Ayurvedic and the Chinese medicine and are now being studied worldwide. And I know when I say basil seeds, you think of a basil plant that a lot of people have in their windowsill. But the seeds aren't just for growing basil plants. You can also eat them. And they look similar to sesame seeds, but they're black. And the type that you eat typically comes from sweet basil, which is the plant commonly used to season foods. And for this reason, the seeds are typically referred to as sweet basil seeds. And by the way, just about every health food store I've been to carries them.
Okay.
They have a whole variety of them online. I purchased some recently on Amazon. And I get the organic raw ones, and I have a little bit every day. I'll tell you how in a moment. But they go by some other names, including holy, I love the name, holy basil seeds. And there, it's fascinating, some of the benefits. Basil seeds are high in calcium, magnesium, and fiber, particularly soluble fiber, including pectin. Pectin is good for so many reasons I'll tell you about shortly. But here are some of the benefits of basil seeds to your health. One is it helps you meet your fiber quota. So 1 tablespoon, that's 13 grams, of basil seeds gives you 7 grams of fiber. That's 25% of the RDI, recommended daily. Well, we can say RDA too. But only about, this is fascinating to me, 5% of Americans get enough fiber. So adding a tablespoon of basil seeds to your diet every day can help.
Yes.
Now, so they're rich in pectin. Pectin supports gut health. Studies show that the pectin has prebiotic benefits, meaning that it can nourish and increase beneficial, friendly gut bacteria. Pectin's also anti-inflammatory. So if you want a healthier gut, and by the way, if you want to not spend so much time in the bathroom sitting on your throne, then you make sure you add the basil seeds to your diet. They help you feel full. In other words, it will get you in the flow.
Yes.
They help you feel full. Pectin delays stomach emptying and increases hormone levels that promote the sense of fullness. Some people say they don't know if they curbs appetite, but I know for a fact with many clients I work with all over the world, you can get these all over the world, they say that they have a glass full, they just put some in water and let it sit for 20 minutes, and then maybe while they're making dinner, and then have a big glass full 10, 15 minutes before dinner, and you won't be eating as much. So I've done that before, too. The basil seeds, Rick, they aid in blood sugar control. When people, listen to this, with type 2 diabetes, ate 10 grams, that's just 3/4 of a tablespoon, okay? 10 grams, 3/4 of a tablespoon of basil seeds and water after each meal for a month, their post-meal blood sugar was 17% lower than at the start of the study. Let's just also mention cholesterol. A lot of people have an issue with their cholesterol and their blood lipid panels numbers being too high. Pectin helps, which basil seeds are rich in, helps to lower blood cholesterol by inhibiting cholesterol absorption in your gut. So people who ate, I know some people listen to this in the UK, so 30 grams, which is 7 teaspoons, that's a little bit over 2 tablespoons, of basil seeds daily for 1 month, they had an 8% drop in their total cholesterol. And I know everyone's thinking, okay, you've made your point. I want to get some and add them into my diet. What's a simple way to do it? I do this many times a week, and I actually take one of those Pyrex glass measuring cups, often a 2-cup size, and this would be a single serving. So you could double it, you could triple, you could quadruple it. So into that cup, this is for a single serving, I'll put a tablespoon of my fresh flaxseed meal just because it's so good for you for many reasons we've talked about and I write about in detail in my book, A Hug and a Mug. And then I put in a tablespoon each, Rick, of the basil seeds and also a tablespoon of chia seeds. And to these seeds and the flaxseed meal that I grind fresh, I sprinkle a little cinnamon, and I'll put in 3/4 of milk. And I make my almond milk fresh. So whatever liquid you want. But almond milk is so easy. Again, I've got recipes in a Hug and a Mug for that. And then sometimes I'll put in a few dried cherries or maybe a few raisins, maybe some walnuts, maybe even some fresh berries like blueberries. And so it's 3/4 of a cup of the liquid, and I use almond milk. And you mix it, you just stir it. And then I do this at night, Rick, and I put it in the refrigerator. I put a lid on it, and I put it in the refrigerator, and it absorbs all the liquid. Basil seeds absorb the liquid fairly quickly. Chia seeds take longer.
Okay.
It takes me about 45 seconds to make this, and in the morning it is the most delicious pudding, literally pudding. And if you get all the everything raw, then you don't even need to heat it. You could heat this if you wanted, but I like it raw. And I often put some of my yogurt on it. I get non-dairy yogurt, and I put a little bit of that, maybe sprinkle a little more cinnamon on the top, maybe some more fresh berries, a couple walnuts, whatever floats your boat. And it is so delicious and so good for you.
Fantastic. And all this information, again, on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. A few minutes left in the program. You talk about chia seeds. How do basil seeds compare in nutritional value to chia seeds, and which do you prefer? And you just talked about this. They're fairly easy to incorporate in your diet, aren't they?
Yes, yes. And by the way, the basil seeds I also put in my smoothies. I make these quick-making puddings. Sometimes I just put them in a glass of water or juice. I wait for them to swell up in about 15 minutes, and I drink it down. So you don't need to make pudding. It's very easy to use. The most notable differences are that chia seeds contain more than twice the omega-3 fat, that's the good fat, but less fiber compared to the basil seeds.
Okay.
That's why I do both. Chia seeds and basil seeds swell and form a gel when they're soaked. That's like the pectin that acts like a magnet to grab onto your cholesterol and help take it out of your body. But like I mentioned, the basil seeds swell quicker and to a larger size than the chia seeds. Both seeds, by the way, have a bland flavor, so they can be used in many of the same recipes, like in smoothies or baked goods. And finally, chia seeds can also be eaten dry, like sprinkled on a salad, while basil seeds are typically not eaten dry because they're hard to chew. And then you don't want them to get caught in your gums,
yeah, yes.
And then you have to oral irrigate more. So that's why you definitely want to soak the basil seeds.
Great information. The topic today has been the dangers of ultra-processed foods and a top-quality superfood that Dr. Susan has talked about, holy basil seeds. So much information. You'll find more on her website. Great topic today. I mentioned before that we were going to mention, tell people how they can sign up for the monthly newsletters and talk about where people can get copies of your latest books, Uplifted and A Hug in a Mug.
Yeah, so just go to my website, and right there on the homepage it says, sign up for the free Healthy Living monthly newsletters. It takes 10 seconds or so to sign up, so I don't inundate you. Maybe 2 to 3 times at the most a year. You might get a second short something for just subscribers with a gift in it. And by the way, for what this is worth to anybody, if you like brownies, I have a wonderful recipe for a beet fudgy brownie, so there's beets in it. It's great for you, actually good for your libido and your immunity. And it's a simple recipe. Everyone loves the brownies, and I mention that because you get that recipe as one of the many gifts you get when you sign up for my free newsletters. You know, when you subscribe and sign up, you get gifts from me. Another gift is a PDF of a cookbook, not one I wrote, but a chef wrote it, and I helped him with all the nutritional value of the foods. You also get a free book about how to get rid of allergies naturally that a country doctor, a medical doctor, wrote. So and then I give you other gifts in addition to that fudgy beet brownie recipe. And then also Uplifted and the companion book, A Hug and a Mug. A Hug and a Mug has, it's part cookbook, part holistic lifestyle book, you know, part look 30 in 30 days, look 10 year, look and feel 10 years younger.
Okay.
My latest book, you find them both on my website. That's where you can get autographed copies from me, and they're both available on Amazon.
All you need to do is go to SusanSmithJones.com. A wealth of information there. You will really enjoy and look forward to the monthly newsletters, the books that Susan talks about. All of her books are available, autographed copies as well, on her website. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure. A great topic today because it really impacts all of us and in all of our diets, where we're ultra-processed foods have become, unfortunately, a big part of our diets. An eye-opening conversation. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much. I look forward to our next visit.
Looking forward to that as well. And in the meantime, all you need to know from our favorite holistic health and lifestyle expert, Susan Smith Jones, PhD, on our website, SusanSmithJones.com. And of course, all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.